Acts chapter 8 this morning. The Bible in Acts chapter 8 gives us a very, very interesting story, and I want to look at it today. Begin reading in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. We know that England this week, they lost their queen. I guess I said that right. Great Britain lost their queen. And I found out something this morning that I did not know. I watched just a few minutes of news this morning. Brother Griswold, I wasn't aware that they played America's national anthem when we were struck by the terrorists. I didn't know that. What a kind gesture. They said broke, I think it was it 600 years or 60 years of 600 years of precedence, and played another country's national anthem. I thought that was awesome. Say amen. So here's a fella. He's the treasurer for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was returning and he's sitting in his chariot and he read Esaias. That is a New Testament term for the book of Isaiah. He read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Can I tell you, God's people, it's about time that we take this responsibility that God's given us personally seriously. Amen. To get near people that don't know Jesus. Amen. Amen? I told a fellow last week as we visited on Thursday night, I said, son, he was not interested. He said, I don't believe in the Bible. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, well, I want to tell you something right now. I said, if you had cancer and I had the cure, I said, would you be interested? He said, sure. I said, well, let me ask you this. What kind of man would I be if I had the cure and I knew you had cancer and I wouldn't share it with you? He said, you wouldn't be much of a man. I said, son, I don't have the cure for cancer. I said, but I know the cure for sin. I said, that's why I stopped by. I said, you do have sin. All of us do. And the cure is Jesus. And we spoke with him just a few minutes. Remember what I said? If you can't win them, leave the door open. Maybe somebody else can. He reluctantly took a gospel tract. If he'll read it, it'll help him. The Word of God, never get away from it after you read it. Amen. The Bible said here, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, I love this, ran. He ran toward him. And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. That tells me that this man, by the way, you should try this sometime. You'll actually get more out of it. You should try reading the Bible out loud. You'll actually get more out of it. And you'll also be much less apt to go to sleep. I'm not making fun, but honey, we have an enemy, amen? You're determined you're going to read your Bible and watch how sleepy you get all of a sudden, amen? Watch 3 hours of a football game, never bat an eye. Three verses in the Bible and you're ready to conk out. But he's reading out loud evidently because Philip heard him. He read the prophet Isaiah. He said, Understandest thou what thou readest? East Tennessee vernacular. He said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, "What? How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This lines up with Scripture. You know what the Bible teaches? It teaches that the Bible is a spiritual book. And it teaches that the Bible is spiritually discerned. You don't just pick it up and read it like you would a history book or a book about sports or a book about math. It's a spiritual book and it's spiritually discerned. The natural man, the Word of God said, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So this man, he humbles himself. He says, how can I understand this, lest some man guides me? The place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a sheep, like a lamb before his shearer, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? The eunuch just simply wanted Philip to tell him, is Isaiah talking about Isaiah? Or is Isaiah talking about somebody else? There's a book somewhere in my library entitled The Gospel According to Isaiah. I'll tell you, Isaiah did a good job presenting Jesus in the Old Testament. Say amen. And the Bible said here, then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I read something yesterday. It said because it was a desert, there was no way that there could have been enough water in the desert to immerse someone in baptism. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every once in a while, you just read after fools. Say amen. Them same fools will tell you there wasn't enough water in the Red Sea to drown Pharaoh and his army. They'll also tell you there ain't no way a man could live in the belly of a whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Say amen. Y'all know where I'm coming from? They'll also tell you that Brother Steve sent me an article last week that they're proving out now that the scriptural timeline is right in creation. Let me tell you something. Everything they discover proves God to be right. God's always been right. And he always will be. Watch this now. See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This one you just preached to me, I believe that's him. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. What did this eunuch do? He went on his way, rejoicing. There had been a time in your life when you went on your way, rejoicing. You say, Pastor, why do you carry the burden you do? I want somebody else to get what I got. I want somebody else to know the joy of sins forgiven, to be able to go on their way rejoicing because they know their name is written in heaven. And they know heaven will be their home. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the text. Thank you for the context. Thank you, our Father, this morning for the Word of God. Lord, Genesis to Revelation, you've given us exactly what we need. You said, Lord, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, in this message, Lord, to just see truth. See something, our Father. Lord, help that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's unsaved, to see something, Lord, that would challenge their heart, would bring them to the foot of the cross, would bring them to a place of repentance, would bring them to a place of humiliation where they wouldn't care what people thought or what people said, but they'd run to Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach for a little while this morning on this subject, the journey from judgment to justified. The journey from judgment to justified. I'd like to share this with you today. The first thing I see is judgment. I'll give you several things here. If you'll back up to chapter number 8 to verse number 5. The Word of God said in chapter 8, verse number 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." If you understand the Bible, you understand that, beloved, in the early chapters in the book of Acts, the Jews required a sign. And God gave them a sign. God would let them see miracle after miracle after miracle. The gospel's just getting off the ground, so to speak. Amen. And God is giving them a great harvest of souls. There were multitudes in Samaria that were under judgment. You say, "Pastor, how can you say that about the people of Samaria?" I can say that about the people of the entire world. There were multitudes that were under judgment. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave not his..." "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen to verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The disciples said to Jesus one time, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we pray fire down from heaven?" And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." I'm glad I serve a Savior this morning that came to seek and to save that which is lost. We got to see a man last week, a young man in his 20s. And this young man knows that he's lost. I told this young man, I said, "Son, you got half the battle won. There's not too many people in our generation that will admit that they're lost without God." And I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible said God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. "He that believeth not on him is not," "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You say, "Pastor, how many people in the world are living under the condemnation, under the judgment of God?" Every unbeliever is living under that judgment and under that condemnation. The Bible said, you ought to let these two words sink in, condemned already. Condemned already. Not waiting for a day out there in the future, beloved, but, beloved, condemned already. The Word of God said, "Because they believe, hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." You say, "Pastor, why do people go on in that situation?" And the Word of God said in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Don't you think there ought to come a day in America when we realize, beloved, you lock a man up for running around and raping women, and you let him out before he sins, that he's going to run after another one and rape her and now kill her? Save me! And I'm telling you, beloved, you say, "Pastor, why do men act like that?" Because they love darkness rather than light. And I want to remind you of something I preached several weeks ago. The darkness is the same, whether you're just a rapist and an unbeliever, or whether you're a churchgoer and an unbeliever. Men love darkness rather than light. One thing God has brought out in my mind here lately, beloved, Jesus in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He was willing to be stripped, willing to be beaten, willing to be mocked, willing to be spit on, willing to hang on an old rugged cross so a 27-year-old wretched sinner could be saved by the grace of God. And I'll tell you this, beloved, there was not only humiliation for him, but there was humiliation for me. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, "Pastor, I don't want to be humiliated." You'll never be saved till you are.
till you admit exactly what you are. You're just a hell-deserving sinner on your way to hell without God. And when you'll humble your heart and say, God, I don't deserve mercy, I don't deserve grace, but here I come to Calvary, and you bow at the foot of that old rugged cross and say, Lord, help me. You can get out from under that condemnation. Get out from under that judgment. I'll say this morning. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. There are multitudes under judgment. Secondly, there are individuals under judgment. I think this is a beautiful picture in Acts chapter number 8. In Acts chapter number 8, you have a city being preached to. Brother Billy Graham used to do that. He'd go and have crusades and fill up stadiums. Amen. I was thinking this morning, I'm just going to stop right here and park just a minute. Listen to me. I found this out, and some people are critical because of it. But when they went to a town to have a revival, to have a crusade. And listen, you don't have to agree with everything that every position that Billy Graham took. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. You can say whatever you want to. If he held all those crusades and one is in heaven today, it was worth it all. Personally, I believe there's way more than one. But I'll tell you what they would do. They would go to the churches and they would encourage people in the crowd to move. I was thinking about this morning. You say, well, people, preacher, why would they encourage? I'm talking about church people. They would encourage church people when the invitation was given. They would encourage them to move. And they said it made it easier for that sinner to step out when he saw somebody else going to the altar. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, you can get mad at me if you want to. But I believe in our church, beloved, listen, somebody raises that head and says, I'm lost without God. Somebody ought to be moving. Somebody ought to be in an altar. Some mother, some father, some brother, some sister. I'm telling you, it ought to stir our hearts. You say, Pastor, what did Philip do? Philip was, he was great with the Colosseum, so to speak. The citywide revival, the Bible said the people with one accord gave heed unto the preaching of the Word of God. And Philip was thrilled. But I want you to see this. Here's one in the desert. Multitudes under judgment. But here's one in the desert. You know what I believe? Brother John, I believe that Philip was just as thrilled. You say, Pastor, why do you see a thrill in Philip's life? Because he didn't just mosey over there. When the Spirit of the Lord said, go over there, there's somebody over there needs help. He ran over there to that chariot. And you know what he found out? He found out God had already started working on the other end. There was a man with his Bible open. He was reading the Word of God, but he didn't know what he was reading. He didn't know who that man in the Word of God was talking about. Is he talking about himself or some other man? And I tell you, Philip opened the Word of God and began to preach unto him Jesus. Amen. Watch this now. Multitudes under judgment. Individuals under judgment. Let me give you this. You say, Pastor, nobody would have ever known this guy's got authority. A man of authority. This guy's, he's not riding a donkey, he's riding in a chariot. This guy's in charge of the queen's treasure. Are you listening to me? You say, well, Pastor, how could a guy like that be under condemnation? Because, honey, it don't matter how high or how low you are, without Jesus, you're a sinner. Without Jesus, you're under the judgment and the condemnation of God. But I'll tell you, beloved, there's a God that loves you and made a way out from under that judgment and that condemnation. Multitudes under judgment. Individuals under judgment. But let me give you this. You may not like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Nations under judgment. The Word of God said, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. You can say whatever you want to, honey. But we're going downhill at a breakneck speed. First thing you know, let's just make the liquor legal so we can gather some taxes. Now let's make the marijuana legal so we can gather some taxes. Now let's make them a place where they can get clean needles. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just make it where a man can come down in front of a preacher and marry another man. A woman can come down and marry another woman. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just destroy millions after millions after millions of babies in the womb and out of the womb. Let's just kill them and get rid of them. You can say whatever you want to, but I believe our nation is under the judgment hand of God. The road, the journey from judgment to justification. We see the judgment. I'm telling you, listen to me carefully. We've got politicians right now that will not even acknowledge that we're in trouble economically. You say, Pastor, why are we in trouble economically? Because we're in trouble morally. You say, Pastor, why are we in trouble morally? Because we're in trouble spiritually. We've turned our back on the God of heaven. It came out last week, and I learned a little bit this week. I'm sorry that I didn't know it before, but they said the Queen was a born-again Christian. I will say this, Brother Rick, what time I've heard her speak, she acted like it. She did. She acted like it. She spoke like it. I'm going to tell you something right now. That old bitterness and that old hatred and that old vile. Beloved, that had no be coming out of the mouth of somebody that's been born again. Say amen. Judgment. You say, Pastor, the journey from judgment to justified. First we see a man, we see a city under judgment. I'm telling you about a nation. And by the way, beloved, today's 9/11 and I know that. And I don't glory in this, but if you'll read this Bible, God used heathen nations to punish his people. I'm talking about nations that worship dead idol gods to punish the children of Israel when they sinned. Read your Bible. And then they would repent. It was a cycle. They'd get right with God and God would bless them. They'd go away from God and God would judge them. Judgment. The journey from judgment to justified. I've already preached longer than I planned on this morning, but here we go. The second thing in the message, we see the judgment. The second thing I want you to see, if you don't see anything else, get this, is Jesus. You see, there is no journey from judgment to justification if you bypass Jesus. I want to show you this in the Word of God quickly. The Bible said in the book of Acts here, he began at that same scripture. I've been reading this, brother, for years. And it never dawned on me. I never thought about it. But the Word of God said he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Brother Dole, how long did he preach to him? I don't know. But I, Brother Gary Joe, I bet he was thorough, don't you? He might have went back, Brother Rick, and said, this is that Jesus that was born of a virgin. He's different than we are. He's without sin. He might have went back and said, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I don't know what all Isaiah told him, but I tell you this, Isaiah told him enough that he knew, I need this Jesus. I need Him. I need Him. Not just I need Him, but thank God he got to a place where he said, I want Him. Even though he was successful, he knew he was under the condemnation of God. He began at that same scripture. The Bible said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Beloved, you bypass Calvary. You bypass Jesus. You bypass His death, His burial, His resurrection. Let me back up. You bypass His birth, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. You'll die under judgment. The only way to get from judgment to justification is Jesus. 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 No wonder the songwriter said, the sweetest name I know. Go back to Isaiah 53 with me just a moment. I won't take too long. Isaiah 53. This is where the Bible said he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Give you a couple things quickly here. Isaiah 53. I don't know any of this for sure. I just know that he began at that same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. So the first thing in Isaiah 53, you see Jesus in the scriptures. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible said, who hath believed our report? You know what report Isaiah is talking about? The report that reports on a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see Jesus in the Scripture, and then you see Jesus suffering. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. That old eunuch might have stopped there. Yeah. Brother David said, you mean He did that for me? You mean He did that for me? I got this big old place in my life, and I'm telling you, my prestige and my power and my position can't fill it. And you mean to tell me there's a man called Jesus that did that for me? I could just see, Sister Amanda, I could see this old boy's heart just beginning to melt. Oh, hallelujah for that night when I understood He did that for me. See Him suffering. The Bible said He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. You know where we're at today? We want a salvation without stripes. We want a salvation without suffering. We want a salvation without humiliation. There is no such thing. You'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, or you'll die without God. The Bible, He taught him about the Scriptures, taught him about the suffering of Jesus. Look at verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what I believe? Brother Gary, I believe he taught him about the seeking Savior. Son, let me... I don't know this. Listen to me carefully, but I like to let my mind wander. I believe Philip might have said something like this. Time out on Isaiah. Let me tell you what God did. We was having a revival meeting over in Samaria. And God came to me. The Spirit of the Lord said, go out there in the desert. He might have stopped right there and said, time out. Guess what? God sent me from Samaria all the way out here in this desert to tell you one lost sheep. He loves you. And He died for you. Oh, my soul. I don't know what all Philip told him. And I don't know why before reading it this time I never thought about it. But I tell you, he might have preached 5 minutes. He might have preached 5 hours. I don't know. But I know this. He preached Jesus. And I know this. There come a place in that man's life, Brother Ralph, he said, that's what I've been looking for. That's the one I need. I need Jesus. Oh, happy day when you realize you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Then we might have seen this. He might have taught him about the satisfying, not only the scripture and the suffering, the seeking, but look at verse 11, the first part. He, that would be God, shall see of the travail of his soul, that would be his son, and shall be satisfied. Brother John, I wonder if Philip didn't teach him. The only thing that will satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. Listen, he's telling him, there's only one way, son, for God to be satisfied with your life, and that's to get it covered in the blood of the Lamb, to get your sin taken away. Amen. Taught him about that satisfaction. And then he taught him about the saving. Watch in verse number 11, the second part of the verse. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, here's the word, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Brings me to the last point in the message. Let me say this quickly. Turn back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter number 8. Whew. I didn't even know if I could preach when I got here this morning. We have a good God. He said, Pastor, why you preach? Because I know my Heavenly Father's on somebody's trail. And I'll remind you of something. You might not like to be reminded of it, but honey, I could be very well preaching the last message I'll ever get to preach. But let me remind you of something else. You could very well be listening to the last message you'll ever get to hear. We got no promise of another minute, let alone another day. The journey from judgment to justification. When we're talking about Jesus, turn back to Acts chapter number 8 for just a minute. I'll show you something. This is good. Verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached. What's that next word? Guess what, Brother Gary? It wasn't a different message for the city and the desert. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not a different message for old folk and young folk. That's a mistake that churches are making today. Amen. These youngins need the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ just like us old ones do. It don't matter if we're young or old, rich or poor, black or white. It don't matter if we're from the country or the city. It's this same Jesus that people need. He preached Christ unto them. It worked in the city. It worked in the desert. Preaching Christ will work anywhere. It'll work everywhere. Look at verse 25. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So they didn't just take the city. They're on their way back to Jerusalem. And they just hitting the villages as they go, preaching the same Jesus. You said it didn't say Jesus there. It said the gospel. Honey, you know what the gospel is? How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. That He was buried. That He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Justification. We've seen judgment. We've seen Jesus. Let's look just briefly at justification. The journey from judgment to justified. Webster's 1828 dictionary said, the remission of sin and the absolution from guilt and punishment. That's the definition of justification. an act of free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous. I don't know who sings the song. You ladies do, I believe. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. You see, God didn't just forgive me, but he made me just as righteous as his dear son. Honey, I'm telling you what, if that don't light your fire, I'm afraid you're in trouble. He sees you just like he sees his son. He pardons the sinner, accepts him as righteous on account of the atonement of Christ. Same scripture. Preached unto him Jesus. He didn't preach Isaiah. He didn't preach Moses. He preached Jesus. A couple of verses of scripture. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Philip didn't tell the eunuch, you need to do better. No. He preached unto him, Jesus. In Galatians chapter number 5, let me give you a couple verses of scripture. The Bible said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. I ask you a question. Who's ever been justified by the law? I can answer it for you. No one. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey not the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Paul in the book of Galatians is letting us know this justification is not by the law. It's by the grace of God. In Romans chapter number 4, Abraham is being presented. What shall we say then as Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by the works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, watch this now, that justifieth the ungodly. You say, Pastor, why did you put an emphasis on that? Because, beloved, that's a word that's not used much anymore. But I tell you, it don't matter if you're a rapist. It don't matter if you're a murderer. It don't matter if you're a thief. Or it don't matter if you're the best moral person in Kingsport. Without Christ, you listen to me, you are ungodly. Judgment, condemnation, the road or the journey from judgment to justification. It goes through Jesus. Every way you turn. In the book of Romans, chapter number 24, chapter 4, verse 24, I'm sorry. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I don't know about you this morning. I'm not all that I should be. But I promise you I'm not all that I once was. And I promise you this, Brother Stephen, I'm not all I'm going to be. I'm going to awake one day in his likeness. Hallelujah. Justified. J
justified. Justified. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1 in the book of Romans. Therefore, say, Pastor, I just don't know if I've ever been justified or not. Let me help you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Brother Wade, you can't buy peace. You can't get it out of your wife's pocketbook. You can't go down to the store and get it. You can't get it from pastor. You can't get it from one of our deacons. Peace only comes one way, and that's to be justified by faith. I've had people tell me, I just don't know if I've been saved or not. Listen, I believe sometimes the devil throws people a curveball. They've got out and got involved in sin. They've lost their assurance, and I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you have ever been saved, you know what this is like. One moment, Brother Mike, just as dirty and just as filthy and just as rotten. Miss Eve had some taters on the back porch the other day, and I said, honey, I said, something wrong. She said, yeah, there's one in there rotten. How many wants a rotten tater for dinner? How many remembers when you smelled worse in the nostrils of God than that tater on the back porch? Or that mater that gets rotten? Amen. Let me tell you something right now. All of a sudden, Brother Mike, one moment you're just as filthy. And the next moment you're just as clean as the driven snow. You couldn't even see a black dot in it anywhere. White. Amen. How many remembers the load? I'm talking about the load. Hon, sin is a heavy load. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 60. Sin is a heavy load. Chance and Brother Rick and some of the men get up here and lift this stuff when we do plays and things. And this stuff's heavy, ain't it, Brother Rick? Brother Rick, it won't even compare. You could put all of that on my back and it wouldn't compare to the load I was carrying that night. 27 years of load. 27 years of sin. How in the world could somebody come along and take that off of me and me not know it? How could somebody take something so filthy and clean and wash it and me not know it? I used to weld for a living. Boy, if you've ever been around that, you've been around it, ain't you, Randall? That smoke gets in your hair and your clothes and you grind some, and that old dust around your belly right here, you're up on a bench grinding. I'm telling you, I couldn't wait to get home, hit the shower, put me on a clean uniform, and I'd wear that clean uniform that evening. You say, why? Because what was used to wear my clothes when I could wear theirs? I ain't as dumb as I look. Y'all hush right there. Some of you just thought, boy, that's a good thing. Amen. And I knew how to get the outside clean. Soap, shampoo, and water. But you see, Justin, I had no junk down on the inside. I couldn't reach it with ivory soap. I couldn't reach it with the shampoo. I couldn't reach it with a sponge. I couldn't reach it with a wash rag. But I'm glad to report to you. He took his blood. He said, son, let me show you what to do with that mess. And he washed it whiter than snow. Lifted that load off of me. I'm telling you. You say, Pastor, what happened? Let me tell you in a word. Peace. For the first time in my life, I didn't have to say if I am, if I'm not, if I am, if I'm not. For the first time in my life, I didn't have to lay down at night and wonder what would happen to me if I died during the night, or what would happen to me if Jesus came during the night. You say, Pastor, why? Why? I'll tell you why.
Because I had been on a journey from judgment to justification. At the end of that journey, there's peace that passes all understanding. Do you have that peace? Have you experienced that journey? Do you know what it was to be condemned and then to meet Jesus and then to be justified? I hope you do. You can't go to heaven without Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's bow for prayer.